and welcome to Talking Tourism, the podcast series specially for tourism operators and industry professionals. I'm Tracy Mallett, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Talking Tourism is an initiative of Tourism Industry Council Tasmania. TICT is the peak industry body for the tourism industry in the beautiful state of Tasmania. If you are a regular listener to Talking Tourism, welcome back. If you're a first-time listener and enjoy today's episode, remember there are now more than 130 episodes of Talking Tourism Conversations available from wherever you access your podcasts, or you can simply stream them on the TICT website at tict.com.au. We are recording this podcast today on the lands of the Palawa and Pakana, and TICT offers its respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, their elders, past and present, for their enduring care and management of these islands. Today's episode is brought to you by our partner, Hype TV. As a complete production house, Hype has the capability to facilitate the entire production process, from concept creation through to media delivery. Hype's core production team consists of industry professionals with decades of experience, and they also have an extensive network of production crews across Tasmania to tailor to your needs. Thanks to Hype TV for their generous support of TICT and for helping make this episode of Talking Tourism possible. Now, let's get into today's conversation with Nick Cooper, Regenerative Tourism Specialist at the Tourism Collective. Nick has a career in tourism spanning two decades across a multitude of countries and sectors. He has extensive experience spanning destination marketing, product development, and customer engagement, with a particular passion and expertise for sustainable and regenerative tourism. Nick is the founder of the industry-leading for-purpose tourism operator on the Mornington Peninsula, Wild Adventures Melbourne, proudly becoming one of the only B Corp certified tour operators in Australia. Nick works as the regenerative tourism specialist at the Tourism Collective and is passionate about using his own lived experience in the industry and running a regenerative tourism business to help support tourism operators and destinations on their journey to becoming more sustainable or regenerative via industry-leading mentoring programs and resources. Welcome, Nick, to Talking Tourism.
Thanks, Tracy.
Now, is this your first time in Tasmania?
It's my second time, so I can't say I'm too experienced with Tasmania, but I love coming here.
Hopefully you came at a warmer time of the year last time.
Well, no, actually I came in winter last time as well. I have big plans to come back next year and explore it properly. But
Fabulous. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to give you some highlights for you to enjoy your time next time you're here. Now, regenerative tourism is still a new concept to many here in Tasmania. We have seen it introduced through the Island Away project on Flinders Island, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts on how we might apply that to other parts of Tasmania. But before that, can you describe what regenerative tourism is to those who may be unfamiliar with the concept?
Yeah, sure. I guess regenerative tourism, the term can be subjective. There's lots of terms in this space: sustainable tourism, responsible tourism, transformative tourism, regenerative tourism. And as I say, some of those terms means different things to different people, but ultimately it's about being tourism for good. Regenerative tourism for me and the business I run on the Mornington Peninsula is about going beyond sustainability and having a long-term positive impact. So not just having a positive impact today and tomorrow for the community and the environment, but actually going long-term for future generations as well. So I guess for me, that's that real sort of long-term vision and really trying to benefit every aspect of how we operate and what we're doing for everyone as well. So it's a positive thing.
One of the biggest engagements that we get with visitors to Tasmania is that visitors want to experience life like a local. And we have a lot of small operators, so it is really that engagement. So I guess that speaks to that positive impact and that making a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's you know, this is one of the beautiful things about Australian tourism. I guess there's over 300,000 tourism businesses here. I think something like over 84% of them are between one and four people working for them. So you've got a lot of small businesses that are the essence of what tourism is here. And it sounds like that's the case here in Tassie too.
So.
And so that's a really close-knit communities that are operating tourism, serving that visitor experience. And if that community can be supported, as well as showcasing that beautiful area, then it can have that knock on effect. So this is what we do on the Mornington Peninsula: is visitors come and we really try and operate in a way that is not only having a positive impact on the environment, but also supporting all of that community as well, so that everyone is kind of working together in this sort of synergy from there. I guess one way I like to describe the tourism industry is not as an industry, but as a living network. So mycelium is the fungal network that grows beneath trees. And it's this kind of network where the trees are communicating with each other. They're sharing resources rather than competing for them. And that's what tourism can be. You know, the tourism industry can share resources, support each other, help each other grow, and really become this sort of living system, rather than an industry that's kind of fighting against each other and kind of competing first one to the top sort of thing.
That is 100% what Tasmanian tourism is all about. We're obviously a small industry, and collaboration is key, I think, for everything that we do, which sounds very much like what it's like on the peninsula. But yeah, absolutely. I think that learning from each other and then applying that to provide the best experience for our visitors is key. Now, I've read a bit about the various certifications and alignment to some of the, you know, whether it's the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals or some of the other certification. I read up that you are B Corp certified. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I guess I wear two hats. So I work for the Tourism Collective, which is a tourism consultancy, and we provide workshops and training and mentoring with destinations and the tourism industry all over Australia. But on the side of that, I'm a small business owner as well. So separate to that, I run a small business on the Mornington Peninsula called Wild Adventures Melbourne. I guess a bit of background to that is that I grew up in the southeast of England, as you can probably tell from my accent, in 1995. When I was 11 years old, my parents were running a bit short on money, so they transformed our family home into a guest house, including my bedroom quite often. From that moment on, we had people from all over the world coming in and out of our house every day, and I absolutely loved it. My brother hated it. I absolutely loved it, meeting these people, and I just became obsessed with travel and tourism from that point. And so as soon as I left school, I started working in tourism. Fast forward 20 years later, lots of countries, lots of different parts of the industry, but it came to the point where I was about to start my own lifelong dream of starting my own small tourism business on the Mornington Peninsula. But I'd seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of the industry, and I didn't want to be part of that. So I wanted to proactively find solutions to the negatives of tourism and turn them into positives, both for our customers, for the community, and the environment. And part of that was by leading by example and setting a best practice example for other small businesses, which is quite a long way of answering leading up to being a B Corp as well. But I wanted for us to meet and be, you know, meet the highest standards. And ultimately, that's what about being a certified B Corporation is. It's businesses around the world from all industries that have met and certified some of the highest standards of social and environmental performance, accountability, and transparency as well. So you've got businesses, everything from, I don't know, Patagonia over in North America from there, right to smaller businesses as well. So it's something I'm really, really proud of. There's only four tour operators in Australia that are certified B Corps, you know, ones like Intrepid and stuff who do some super inspiring stuff. And then there's ones like us who are a really small owner-operator business where I really wanted to set that example. And I suppose that's part of being a B Corp, is holding yourself accountable and showing that you are walking the walk as well as talking the talk, which is really, really great. And that has been really complementary to the work I do at the Tourism Collective, because running a small tour business, your voice only goes so far and your influence only goes so far. So being able to work with the Tourism Collective means it's enabled me to work with a lot of destinations and a lot of small businesses across the industry to really help them go on a sort of a purpose-driven path. And I'm a huge believer in business for good is good for business. And we massively advocate through that for all businesses. That's our values at the Tourism Collective, for businesses to thrive and be successful, but not be detrimental to, you know, the community, the environment, any of those aspects that we rely on here in Australia to promote as a tourism industry as well, and especially here in Tassie, the beautiful nature that you've got everywhere.
Absolutely. That was a great answer to my question.
It was a long answer.
I love the segue because I like that, I guess, the driver for you to even get into tourism, and obviously we have a, I'm sure you do in Melbourne too, but we have a significant issue around workforce development here and attracting people to work in tourism and identify tourism as a career. So the fact that people were at the core of what drove you to a career in tourism and that you're now giving back to the people, that's a beautiful story. So.
Yeah, and I grew up in the countryside, but I didn't grow up as an eco warrior or anything like that. I kind of, you know, subconsciously saw all of these things going on in all of these different countries of you know, how, you know, over tourism, for example, pollution, litter, all of these things that can have negative impacts on the environment and community. And it's all these kind of sort of subconscious kind of going, okay, if I'm going to start something, I really need to tackle these and take action on these as well. And so I think, yeah, if you've got that sort of ethos from the start of doing the right thing, then that influences every business decision I make of doing the right thing. So I have this, you know, purpose before profit, yeah, in absolutely every aspect of what I do. And I think that's how tourism is the future, with the rise of the conscious traveller only getting more from there. And that is the future of here in Tassie. You've got this unique, beautiful opportunity to really thrive with that. And it sounds like that's already happening to a certain extent.
Yeah, but exactly, a lot of that ethos and the values that you talked about is about avoiding over-tourism. Like if we hold all that true to ourselves, then we will avoid over-tourism. And I know there's some lessons to be learned, and we could probably do a whole other podcast on over-tourism. But I think, yeah, if we keep that at the front of mind, then it's about the people rather than the negative impact on the other elements. So I guess getting back to the benefits of regenerative tourism, what are those benefits for both the visitors, the operators, bearing in mind we have a lot of small business operators here in Tasmania, and locals? How does the community see the benefits of that?
Yeah, I mean, as a business, I've found that it's attracted us more customers, it's made us more marketable, it's got us more media attention, it's got more advocates. For example, we've about 75% of our reviews that we receive via Google and TripAdvisor and things like that mention our eco practices, which is really, really nice. So some people are actually reviewing us, giving us great reviews, not just based on our service, but based on how we operate and knowing that they're making a positive impact as well, which is great. From a visitor point of view, you know, we're hopefully attracting that responsible traveller into the region and giving them the best possible experience where they're operating responsibly. Like you mentioned before about over tourism, we operate with, you know, 8 or 9 people absolute maximum as well. So it's that sort of minimal impact that we're taking from there. And then supporting the community is a huge one as well. So we're every provider that we use, this is kind of my non-compromise approach again, is local businesses. So we'll try and search out an eco business for a product or service on the Mornington Peninsula. If we can't find that, then we'll go within Victoria. If we can't find that, we'll go within Australia as well. And it's just kind of that aspect of going, how can we, you know, support the community and everything they do. So when they see us operating as a tourism operator, they don't see tourism as a negative if it's not directly having a positive impact on them. They see tourism as a positive. And that goes from everything from what we do, from carrying portable bins on all of our activities. So we're cleaning up, we're operating our tours at zero waste. It's how we support all of these local businesses, support local conservation projects. So we're actually, the community are seeing, going, wow, these guys are really trying to make a difference. They're not just all about bringing in huge amounts of people and getting dollars in their pockets. They're actually about making this a better place, and not just making this a better place, but being a vocal advocate for responsible tourism as well. So, you know, I guess that's one of the beautiful things about running a tourism business, is you have a captive audience who you can inspire as well. And I like to think that our eco practices with our guests can mean that those guests go back to their own communities and their own countries and potentially operate or behave in a more responsible way and advocate for more responsible tourism, which is kind of what the tourism industry needs, you know, with all of the impacts of climate change and all the other impacts that we're experiencing.
a lot of those new practices, I guess, haven't been tried in a tourism sense before. So, you know, it might be a different offering, or someone's going down a particular path that has a whole lot of regulation with it that's perhaps been untested before. Have you struck that where people, operators in particular, have had some trouble adhering to the regulations or being uncertain of what regulations might govern a, I mean, zero waste sounds like a no-brainer, but, you know, there has to be the supporting infrastructure. There has to be supporting regulations to govern that. So has that been a barrier or a partner in addressing some of those?
It's really interesting that you should say that, because we've run workshops with the Tourism Collective with various destinations where, for example, waste is an inhibitor for them operating really responsibly as well, like you say, from there. So, and it's the same on the Mornington Peninsula operating My Small Business. You know, for example, you use these products that say commercially compostable, but there's not a commercially compostable facility on it, and therefore that product is ultimately going to go to landfill. So it's just trying to sort of find out what that structure is as well. Also, when it comes to these things, there can be a lot of policies in place. Mm-hmm. There can be a lot of issues that the operators need to overcome. And then when it comes to regenerative tourism, it's the jargon, all of the terms, the certifications, if people are looking to go down that route as well, which can be intimidating and can be hard. I mean, ultimately, for me, it's about operating as a business for good and operating as a purpose-driven business. And if you're doing the right thing, then you are on that road to being more sustainable, more regenerative, rather than feeling sort of trapped and that fear factor of not even starting because there's all of these different factors working against you as well. So I think sometimes, yes, that is a part of it, of getting accredited or going through the certain things that are required to operate in certain ways. But at the same time, there is things that you can do where you don't have to necessarily do all of those things. You can just make positive impact change, and that's what it's all about.
You may have just answered my next question then, which was what's the best advice you could give someone starting out who wants to take that regenerative tourism approach?
Yeah, I mean, making a start is one of them as well. One of the things I love to inform businesses is that it's about progress, not perfection. There's no business in the world that is operating perfectly. And that is what regenerative tourism is all about. It's a continuous spectrum of improvement. It's not a tick box. It's something that you have to continue to improve on and work at all the time. There's a million things I need to work on with my own business to improve. But there's always things that I've done in the past that I'm really proud of, and I'll continue to change them as well. So making a start, looking at that low-hanging fruit is a really good way to start. So those short-term goals, what immediate changes can I make right now? And then you're on the path to being a more regenerative tourism business, setting those long-term goals that you think, okay, this is something to aim for. One of our three-year goals was to become a B Corp, so that was something that we aimed to do as well. So looking at your business, another great way of doing it, what I did with Wild Adventures Melbourne, and is I'm running a little tour operator, and I went, okay, well, the guests are potentially going to come on that tour for the day, and they're going to cause rubbish because they're going to need a plastic bottle of water, they're going to need a disposable coffee cup. So we give all of our guests an eco pack at the start of the day, which has reusable items. So that means that's kind of eliminated their need to buy any waste, because they can refill their refillable water bottle, or get a coffee in the refillable coffee cup, or give everyone free sunscreen, which is reef safe sunscreen. So it means that it's given a great customer service as well as that. So I guess that would be a great recommendation to businesses, is going, what are the negative impacts of our business, and how can we change them into positives? That could be everything from the products in your bathroom, to the food you serve, to the packaging you use, to the bank you bank with, to lots of different areas of your business. And that is what we try and do at the Tourism Collective, is get people to look at their business holistically. It's not a step-by-step, it's not a tick box. It's looking holistically at these different areas and working your way through it to have a positive impact, ultimately.
Because that's what our customers are looking for more and more these days, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And particularly from a values-driven perspective, they want to engage with a business that holds or applies the same values that they hold. So are there some great examples that small businesses, particularly Tasmanian small businesses, where this hasn't been done on a large scale in Tassie yet, Are there some examples where people could look it up and learn?
There's some real positive impacts that Tassie businesses can have. You know, even staying in this hotel we're staying in at the moment, there's opportunities all over the hotel where people can donate to a charity, scan a quick QR code and things like that. So there's ways that businesses can really have a positive impact with very small changes within their business as well. When I'm running the tours that I do, I just have a little option at checkout that people can tick to help plant more native trees in the local area, help restore reefs in the local area as well. So thinking of those small little touches is a really beautiful way that gets noticed and customers get noticed. Exactly like you said, Tracy, there's, you know, I think Tourism Australia's Future of Global Demand research said that over 75% of travellers are, you know, focused on sustainability as well. So that's definitely that rise of a conscious traveller, and they really appreciate that, and they come on the experiences that we run and they love it. They see all of those little touches and they become your biggest advocates. Even when I'm running a tour that doesn't go to plan, you know, weather, traffic, things like that, they go, actually these guys are making a positive difference or really trying to be for that, and therefore operating as a positive business can have a real knock-on effect with not just your customer, but your community as well, to be your biggest fan club and ultimately give you more longevity as a successful business in the future.
And give you good reviews too, undoubtedly.
Exactly right. So,
well, thanks very much for the chat, Nick. It's been very enlightening. And I think the best takeaway bit of advice is for businesses is to start small and look at that difference that we can make, and perhaps talk to our customers about that to find out exactly what it is that will make a difference.
Absolutely. And I think connecting the dots is a really interesting one as well. Zoos Victoria is a really good example. Their tagline is fighting extinction. And they realised that, you know, climate change is causing extinction. And therefore, they became the world's first carbon neutral zoo, took lots of action on that as well. So that's another great thing for businesses to look at, of going, what impact am I actually having? What's our values? What's our tagline, if there is one? And how can we actually tackle that? Because that's a tagline's one thing, but actually how can we tackle that area and be really a promotion for that? So connecting the dots and seeing how your business can do that is a really great way of looking at things. And it's not just looking from a Tassie point of view, an Australian point of view, it's looking from a global point of view and really trying to tackle these impacts.
Fabulous. Now, before we let you go, it wouldn't be an episode of Talking Tourism without what we call the Big Seven Questions. Now, everyone is going to judge you on this more than anything else. So are you ready? Your favourite spot in Tasmania and why, recognising you've been here twice?
Well, I was going to say I've only been here twice. So, you know, I was down in Hobart. So I'm going to have to say Hobart at this stage, which is probably controversial considering we're sitting in Launceston right now as well. But no, we went there and had a beautiful time. So I love that sort of small town feel of Hobart and that sort of quirkiness to it as well. So let's say Hobart. I'm sorry I haven't explored much more than that.
Well, that's all right. When you come back and we'll ask you this question again in a few years' time, we'll have a different answer. Your favourite travel destination anywhere in the world?
That is a tricky one. I kind of have one per continent. We won't go through all of that.
No, we might run out of time for that.
But I think, you know, Costa Rica was an amazing place I went through. My wife and I went on a backpacking honeymoon a few years ago and we went through Costa Rica there, and they've got an amazing conservation story and so much variety to that place as well, that I think that's one of those places that inspires all types of visitors to come there and shows them the sort of variety on offer. So let's go with Costa Rica.
Sounds great. Now, this one might be a trick question for you, but if someone's coming to Tasmania for the very first time and they ask you what's the one thing they absolutely must experience while they're here, what are you going to tell them?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was here in Hobart, we were here during winter and it was dark mofo, so I'm going to say going to Dartmofo as well, which
good
is
answer.
As mad as it is brilliant and an amazing experience. So I would highly recommend that. And, you know, that's a great thing about Tassie is that, you know, coming down here during the winter is just as fun as it is coming in the other parts of the year as well.
We do winter pretty well here, yes. Now, the next question is probably right up your alley. You're walking the Overland Track for 5 days with three other people, anyone in the world, famous, not so famous, living or dead. Who and why?
I've got a 15-month-old daughter and she's in one of these stages where everything is amazing as long as it's new. So if she's seen something before, then not as interesting. So she loves seeing new things as well. And, you know, I've only been away from home a couple of days, but I miss her like crazy. So she would have to come with me along with my wife probably on that trek, and we can spend some quality family time together as well. But more massively importantly, I'd love to go with a Palawa guide to come there and just for 5 days, yeah, just absorb that knowledge and about the flora and fauna and culture and stories and everything like that. I think that would be the most enriching experience you could ever have as well. So I'm going to say a Palawa guide and my daughter and wife. Is that, I haven't said any famous people.
No, it's completely up to you, and that is a great answer. So well done. Now, if you were road tripping around Tasmania, what would you be listening to in the car?
Probably something like the Teskey Brothers. They're a Melbourne band, but super chilled. One of those musics that you just kick back and enjoy life listening to. So maybe this podcast as well.
But. Oh, good answer. And when you arrive at your destination, what's your tipple of choice?
I gave up drinking alcohol in October last year. So I've really got into the zero beers because I still love a beer. Yeah, nice. And some of the better zero craft beers, you can't even tell the difference as well. So I love a zero beer. That's going to sound...
No, there's some great ones made here in Tassie.
Yeah. And 10 years ago, they used to be terrible, but they're really great now. So I'll need to try some Tassie zero beers, I think.
Great. On your next trip back. Yeah. Yes. And the last one, the big debate, curried Tasmanian scallops, a culinary delight or a culinary crime?
I haven't tried them. I'm not massively eating seafood these days as well, so I'm not even sure. Usually I just go onto the Good Fish guide that kind of sees what's sustainably sourced and things as well. But I have no idea on that one because I haven't tried it. I'm sorry, but I didn't realise it was a debate.
Oh, it's a very contentious debate, a bit like North and South Tasmania. So you've identified that one already too. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Talking Tourism. Remember to subscribe to hear more episodes as we release them every 2 weeks or so. Also, remember to tell a friend or tourism colleague to check out our podcasts. Talking Tourism is an initiative of Tourism Industry Council Tasmania, and today's episode was brought to you with the support of our partner, Hype TV. A big thanks also to Caleb Miller at Mac40, our audio specialist who produces these episodes. I'm your host, Tracy Mallett, and we'll catch up next time.